Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Godrej Consumer Products Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sudhir. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi guys, this is Sudhir here. We've had a bit of a tech problem in our office, and our MTNL lines are down, so I'm speaking from my mobile. So the tech guys, am I clear and audible?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
You can hear me clearly, right?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Okay, let me go ahead. Okay, welcome to all. Though they could have been even better, our Q1 25 results are better than they seem optically. As we laid out in our investor meet in May 24, our strategy has been to drive volume growth in India and Indonesia through category development, drive EBITDA growth at a consolidated level on the back of improved profits in GAUM and LATAM through simplification. We also spoke about increasing our total addressable market in India. The quarter performance and our announcements are in line with the same. Our organic volume growth in India was 8%, reported 10%, on a high base of 10%. Organic revenue growth was 6%, and this should be the last quarter of negative pricing we see. We were able to achieve this despite cutting trade schemes on soaps and an unusually hot summer for household insecticides. EBITDA growth in India was 8% on the back of some sharp and sudden increases in oil prices. We, however, think we will be able to recover this through the year without changing the quality of our soaps. Indonesia grew volume at 7% on a tough comparator of 12%. Due to currency devaluation in Q1, the rupee revenue growth of 3% and EBITDA growth of 24% hit a much stronger constant currency revenue growth of 11% and EBITDA growth of 32%. We are hopeful that with the relaunch of Good Knight Liquid with Vaporizer, India volumes grow slightly faster than Q1 through the year, and Indonesia sustains. GAUM had an extremely poor quarter in terms of revenue and grew organic volumes at -21% and organic revenue at -25%. This was due to extreme currency volatility, the shipping crisis, some tough calls on pricing, and a one-time distributor base in Nigeria. Given the high interest rate scenario in many African markets, we may continue to reduce the trade stocks in the next one to two quarters, and hence GAUM volume growth may be under pressure, but this is neither having a material impact on offtakes nor on profits. Despite this drop in revenue in Q1, our EBITDA grew at 19%, taking our GAUM EBITDA margins to 14% for the second quarter in a row. In LATAM, the story was similar to poor top-line growth but high bottom-line growth. In fact, when compared with Q1 24, the revenue salience of GAUM plus LATAM has fallen from 29% to 21%, while the profit salience has actually inched marginally from 11% to 12%. This led to a consolidated performance of -3% revenue, 9% in constant currency, flat UVG, 13% EBITDA. And this is when we talk EBITDA, we always talk EBITDA plus forex, and 14% PAT before exceptions. Our organic growth was -1% revenue, 11% constant currency, and 2% UVG. Our journey to increase TAM in India is also going well. Laundry liquids is growing exponentially, as is sexual wellness. In both, we are seeing strong market share gains. Our launch into body wash has started well. On deodorants, we remain positive on our business case in the medium to short term. However, living the principle of tomorrow before today, we took multiple simplification actions, thereby rebasing 10%-15% of revenue. Hence, optically, while growth may look a little flat, there is good underlying momentum. We have seen sharp share gains in modern trade, commerce, and rural, but have lost some share in urban general trade. In hindsight, it was a mistake to have integrated the urban GT distribution, and hence we are reverting to a more focused channel in urban GT for this category, which will also help us in some of our existing products and future innovations. As a consequence, we may be slightly behind the profit targets we had set on Raymond acquisition for FY25. We will be significantly higher than the margins we inherited. We are today announcing the formation of Godrej Pet Care, a subsidiary of GCPL. Pet foods is already a rupees 500 crore category with many decades of late-teen growth ahead. To give a perspective, only approximately 10% of Indians own a pet, of which only 10% eat packaged foods, and that too only 40% of the time. Calorie conversion in India is only 4%. Which was remarkably similar to India 15 years ago, has 20% pet ownership today and a calorie conversion of 25%. While the opportunity is clear, we believe that our right to win as a group is high. GAVL, our group company, is the market leader in animal feeds and has a good understanding of pet foods, R&D and competitive advantages in supply chain. GCPL will invest the entire capital of rupees 500 crores in Godrej Pet Care over a period of 5 years, post which we hope to see GPC becoming cash positive. GAVL will be our manufacturing and R&D partner. Lead times to set up CapEx is long, and we hope to commence manufacturing in the second half of next year. We have appointed Mr. Nitin Jain as COO for the business. Nitin joins us from Mars, and he has extensive experience in pet care. We will shortly announce the appointment of a CEO as well for this company. Thank you very much and look forward to hearing your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I have three questions. My first question is on pet food. So here specific questions are, what are the reasons for entering this? Second is GAVL, you said, has good understanding of pet food. So could you elaborate what exactly they have done in pet food till now? And this category, if you see, has a different distribution than any other FMCG, plus does have a very strong one large MNC, and Nestle has also entered a few years back. So what will be our right to win here, given our distribution, our understanding of this space till now is not there?
Thanks, Avnish. I think let me answer the three questions one by one. The reasons for entering the space, the opportunity is large. I think all of us know that it's already a large category growing fast, will become very large. And it's a reasonably good high margin category. So I think the size to win is reasonably large. I think in terms of our right to win, it's still early days in the business. It's currently a two-player game. Typically, we can perhaps see a few more players still being able to create value here. We ourselves as GCPL have good consumer understanding, good marketing understanding, good distribution in some channels where pet care sells, e-commerce and a little bit of modern trade, but mainly e-commerce. We have to build distribution and specialty pet stores, but we broadly understand the principles of FMCG marketing and distribution and consumer understanding. GAVL has two advantages. One is the animal feeds business and the fish feed business has similar manufacturing technologies to what is required in pet food. Secondly, the raw materials for pet care, which is chicken, corn, etc. These are raw materials that GAVL is one of the largest buyers in India of, and they have a good understanding of the cost and commodity. So I think from a supply chain point of view, GAVL understands it well. From a marketing and sales point of view, we have the ability to understand it well. About half the category is in specialty pet stores, which are few in number, will grow rapidly in the future, and we will have to build distribution there. The rest of it, we already have a distribution presence.
Sure. My second question will be on the Raymond business. So you briefly alluded to the urban GT slight change in distribution, which I think you are planning. And there has been some market share loss. If you could elaborate, why did you choose to do what you did? And what is the change now which will happen? And you also mentioned there was obviously some portfolio rationalization. Would you need to bring back some part of that portfolio back in the urban GT? And when you mentioned slightly behind profit expectation, could you again tell us FY25-26, what kind of sales growth and what kind of EBITDA growth or EBITDA margin will be possible given these changes which you'll now do in terms of urban GT or maybe some other change in the portfolio? Yeah.
So I think, you know, this merger, we did a couple of things. We merged largely the systems with GCPL system, except for condoms where we built a separate OTC system and we put some of our GCPL products onto it. I think firstly the condom and that has worked. In the rest of the business...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We had just lost your audio for a second over there.
Okay. I was saying that when we did the merger, we merged the... We kept the OTC system, which was the chemist distribution channel, separate for condoms, and that's worked quite well for us. What we did was we merged the entire GCPL system and RCCL system across channels. It worked for us in modern trade and e-commerce where we've gained share. So, for example, in the two top modern trade channels stores, we have gained close to 1,000 bits of share. In rural, we have gained market share. But in urban, what happened is that the footprint was actually pretty similar to our footprint. And there are specific cosmetic stores that do a lot of deodorant sales where the task is more selling than distribution. So our realization is that in urban cosmetics, we need a more specialized selling channel and we started rolling that back. So that's the reason that we're doing and that's what we did. Our original, see, when we inherited this system, it was roughly a 60 crore EBITDA business. We wanted to do EPS accretive by the end of this year, which is about 160 crores. We may do anywhere between 15 to 20% short of that. Maybe we may do 15% short of 160 crores. Is what we may end up doing. So significantly ahead of the EBITDA that we inherited, a little behind what we wanted to do.
So last quick question on the HI business. So HIT spray matic looks very interesting. So here the molecule again will be the same RNF and given this is industry first, is there any other market globally where this is successful?
No, so I think there are two questions here. We have to move the molecule over a period of time. We have not yet moved it to the RNF molecule. We have not yet got clearance for it. So right now we are using the older molecule, which are higher dosage than the regular things. So it is the it doesn't contain the new molecule yet. And when we migrate HIT, and maybe a few months later, we migrate MATIC as well. So it's part of the journey, but it's the old molecule. No, we don't know of any market where the HITmatic product is big as things stand today. We, however, do think, and it's, you know, e-commerce, we've launched it and doing Amazon big day, and we've been quite stressed with the results that we've got on it.
Sure, thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Soman from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. So two questions. Firstly, on the Africa EBITDA that you said has improved, does this include the amount that we received from the entity that we sort of franchised out? That's one. And if you were to exclude that from the EBITDA, then what would be sort of the underlying EBITDA of the businesses that we retain? And secondly, on JVL, when we've done this pet food launch, how would the transactions with JVL work? I mean, in terms of transfer pricing, or will there be a JV with JVL? I didn't get that clearly. And lastly, on deodorant, just to clarify, how much would be the proportion of urban GT as a proportion of overall deodorant sales?
Yeah. Okay, three questions. Firstly, the amount that we have received from EBITDA from the entity where we are getting royalty is very minor in Q1. We only consummated the transaction towards the end of Q4. I don't know the exact amount, but it's almost nothing. So I don't think it makes any difference to the EBITDA in Africa. EBITDA in Africa has done well, mainly because of cost cutting, right pricing, right shaping the portfolio, et cetera. So that's been the driver of the EBITDA. And when we talk EBITDA, just, you know, just to clarify, we're always referring to EBITDA plus Forex, which we've always done in the past. So actually, in a way, you know, 21% decline is painful, but in the context of the role of Africa, 20% profit growth, despite a 20% decline in revenue, is actually a good thing. Getting to mid-teens margins is a pretty good thing in Africa. Coming to the question on pet care, with JVL, we don't have a joint venture. JVL will be our exclusive supplier. So we have a transfer pricing agreement, along with a small management fee to JVL, which will be a supplier to us, pretty much like anybody else, but an exclusive supplier. And your question three on urban GT is about 30-35% of the business. So it's not a huge part, but it's still a large part.
So very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Percy from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just wanted to understand this Africa performance. Even after removing the areas that you franchised out, even after that, on organic basis, the performance is down. So I understand you mentioned this is a pipeline correction. Just wanted to understand again, is this mainly in dry hair or is it in the wet hair products? And if so, which are the main geographies where this is? And is it just a normal pipeline correction that the pipeline was too bloated, or are you changing something in the distribution system due to which this is required?
Firstly, there's a combination of several reasons. In South Africa, we were hit a little bit by the Red Sea crisis and the shipping crisis, and you know, those volumes are coming back in July. In Nigeria, it's a combination of two things. One is last year in the same quarter, we had appointed a national distributor, so we had given some primary stocks there. But more important than that, for the first time in Nigeria, we saw currency appreciation. Normally, we have been seeing currency devaluation in Nigeria. So when currency depreciates, trade tends to stock up. Because for them, stocks are like currency because prices are constantly going up. They like to sit on 60 to 70 days of stock. What we saw in Nigeria in the previous quarter was wide swinging of the currency. It went from 1200 to 1800, then came back to 1200. So for the first time, the currency actually appreciated to the dollar and then it settled down at about 1500-1600. So in an appreciating currency, nobody likes to keep stock because prices will fall and then their stocks are not worth much. So what we saw was massive downstocking of retailers in Nigeria. We don't think it has affected offtakes or market share. So we think both these are temporary. We also use this opportunity partly to correct our portfolio to sort of reduce low margin SKUs, to take up some prices, to first get the health of this business in shape. You know, our objective was to get this business to 15% EBITDA margin, and we're sitting at 14% this quarter. So we're quite happy with that. And we don't think there's any offtake loss, and as a consequence of all this, things will recover, and we'll anyway be a substantially more profitable business than we were last year in Africa.
So this pipeline correction, do you think that pipeline will build back, or this is a permanent correction?
It may or may not build back. It depends on how much the currency depreciates. Because, you know, the currency continues to depreciate in Nigeria, which it doesn't seem to be. It seems to be moving towards stability, then trade will stock up. If it doesn't, and it remains stable, you know, what they were sitting on was too high. Maybe it will go up a little bit. But I would say these are all on the margins, Percy. I'm saying optics are what they are. The hit has been taken in this quarter. and there might be a little bit more hits in the future quarters in terms of revenue and UVG, but I'm reasonably certain it will be profit accretive or profit positive.
Yeah. And Percy, if you have to add just an additional piece, you see the interest rates in West Africa also have significantly increased. As we speak, in Nigeria, interest rates are anything between 27% to 30%. In Ghana, they are 30% plus. And some bit of the cost of borrowing for trade is higher. So it's in everybody's interest to run a more efficient operation with lower stocks, as long as optics are not impacted.
Understood. Understood. Coming to the Indonesia business, it was at one point of time struggling, and then FY24 has been quite good. Margins, top line, everything has recovered. Can you give some idea on what is happening here in terms of the different segments that you have, which of them, I believe, hit last year did very well. So do you think it can continue to sort of grow at a high pace and therefore pull up the overall business? Because I believe last year hit growth was significantly ahead of the rest of the business in Indonesia. And in fact, I don't know if I'm deriving this correctly, but excluding hit, the rest of the business did not really grow much. So what's the prognosis there for the future quarters or future years in Indonesia?
So firstly, you know, Indonesia, as I said, grew 7% volume on a 12% base. Anywhere between 6 and 8%, we'd be quite happy with Indonesia in terms of volume growth. Margins have to inch up. They've gone up, you know, they've grown a bit. Even in rupee terms, it's gone up by 24%. In local currency, rupiah by 32%. So our strategy in Indonesia is to be in this kind of high single-digit range and to take our EBITDA margins closer to 25 from the roughly 20 that they are right now. I think this year, the growth has been more broad-based. Last year, it only hit. This year, Stella, which is the other big part of the portfolio, has also done very well. So unlike last year, this year, I think both HIT and Stella, in fact, Stella may grow slightly faster because we've got big businesses and a host of small businesses. So it appears to be more broad-based growth in Indonesia this year.
And one quick question on your innovation rate, however you define it, what is the contribution of new products? And also let me know what your definition of that is.
I mean, we have a technical definition which is launched in the last 3 years in incremental turnover. I don't know the exact number, but we launched in the last 1 year, 3 or 4 big innovations. We launched incense stick, which is doing extremely well, especially towards the end of Q2, beginning of Q2 was a bit hot. We launched Laundry Liquid, which is also doing very well. And the third thing that we've launched in the last 1 year was Aero, which is our car air freshener, which you'll see all over cars. That's also doing well. So we've got 3 blockbusters that we've launched in the last year. We've launched 2 new innovations this year. One is, as we speak in this quarter, one was Synthol Body Wash. And, you know, it's a strategic play to upgrade soaps to body wash. And this is our second entry here into body wash after Magic, which didn't do so well. That, again, we launched it in Tamil Nadu and in e-commerce. Early signs are good. And we've launched Hitmatic, which is the automatic hit spray, which also the early response in e-commerce has been good. So I would say in the last 2 months, 3 big innovations. We're also moving fewer innovations. So we do only 1 or 2 innovations a quarter, a few a year. But last year, I would say all these 3 have been big hits for us.
Okay.
That's what's driven, you know, 8% volume growth in the context for hot summer with household insecticides is not easy to drive without these innovations.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. I just had 3 questions. One was on the pricing. So if you look at this quarter, the India pricing is close to negative 2%. You know, while you did mention that this is the last quarter of price deflation, how do we see pricing going forward over the next 3 quarters in India? You know, do we come back to pricing growth? And if yes, what's that kind of ballpark? That's my first question.
So the answer is, from this quarter onwards, we should get pricing now sequentially. By the end of the year, it will be a couple of percent. So if we end up with high single-digit volume growth for the full year, I expect to be at low double-digit value growth is what I expect, or I hope for. So we will get a couple of percent. By Q4, it may be quite significant also, but overall for the weighted average for the year, maybe 2-3%.
Got it. Got it. And this will largely be soap or across categories?
Largely, the delta is on soaps. The rest of it, even last year, we got some pricing growth. So the delta will be on soaps.
Got it. Second question was on the LV launch. So if you could just give us an update of how far ahead are we on having put it in the markets now? And also, is there any kind of impact that we see when we put out a new LV in and we have to phase out the old one? How do those dynamics work between quarters?
So, that Harit, we've just launched it on July 1st, and we're just launching it across the country. Honestly, the real results of the LV will be known only 5 to 6 months from now because these things in India take time because there is old LV in the market that gets moved, then this moves in, then consumers try it. Then they see a material difference, they tell their neighbors or they see the advertising and then buy it. So if we're lucky 4 months, if we're not 6 to 7 months is when we hope we start seeing results here. There's no problem on phasing in and phasing out because it's a replacement. The LV, which is the liquid, is the same. The machine also is functionally the same. Aesthetically, it's different. So there is no problem of phasing in and phasing out.
Got it. And last question is on India margins. This quarter, it's been in similar range as last year. We do have a big kicker from the Raymond piece where even though you'll be below 15-20% below your numbers, on an absolute basis, you'll be more than doubling EBITDA. So optically, EBITDA margin also, that kicker is there. How do we think about it for the balance part of the year? Is the non-Raymond business we expect to be in similar range as last year? Or will pricing give us some benefit, etc.?
Please, without getting into exact, roughly we should be, EBITDA. That's what we roughly done this quarter. That's what I think we will do in future quarters. Remember that Raymond, while it's giving us a delta EBITDA, it comes in at a lower EBITDA than average.
Sure.
So I would say that, holding on roughly to the, I mean, there'll be quarters in which you do 150 bits less and more, but roughly holding on 20s EBITDA seems doable. There is a bit of a headwind in terms of palm oil prices, which are not unusually high, but they are higher than what they were last year. It gives us some opportunity in terms of pricing, but it's probably still a bit higher than what, so that's the headwind we'll have to fix it through cost savings, etc. So I would say that no major change in EBITDA from where we are right now. And I hope a slightly better volume growth than 8 is what I hope for the next few quarters, but slightly better.
Got it. Wish you all the best to achieve that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Gutka from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, team. My question on liquid detergent. So one of your competitors has launched at a significantly lower price, I think 70 rupees a liter. Do you think there's a scope for you to rationalize the prices further to drive conversion, or are you okay with current numbers? And secondly, if you can give any color or comment on the other two brands, that is Gentle and Easy, how are they performing with their overall liquid detergent portfolio?
Yeah, I mean, we have now three brands in liquid. Firstly, we're doing very well in liquid detergents. We have three brands, Easy, Gentle, and Fab. Easy is a specialist wash and it has limited growth because it's mainly used for women's in the north during winter. So Q1 also is not a particularly big quarter for Easy. The other two have their own role to play. Gentle is positioned on Gentle on clothes. Fab is positioned on whiteness, a bit of a value brand. So I think the size of prize here is enormous. I mean, it is genuinely an enormous size of prize from an HPC. So I mean, what others do is of less relevance, and what's important is the kind of growth that liquid detergents is seeing and participating. Over a period of time, we'll figure out how to make respectable margins on this. So I think it's an exciting entry for us. Right now, our objective is to build these two brands in consumers' minds and to rapidly get some shares there and get some volumes. So I would say an exciting journey ahead in laundry liquids.
Great, great. One more question on the soap side. So recently, HUL has reformulated or they have come out with a revised formulation on the soap business. So how do you read that development? Do you think that you also need to change your proposition or formulation, or is it too early to comment upon?
It's not for me to comment on what a competitor does, but let me sort of reiterate our position on soap formulation, which has been the same for the last two decades. And you know, the position that we have on soaps formulation has yielded very, very rich results to us in terms of market share. The BIS, the Bureau of Indian Standards, defines soap based on quality of soap based on total fatty matter or TFM. So it says 76% TFM is grade 1, 70 is grade 2, 60 is grade 3, and 40 is bathing bar. We broadly concur with the government's view on quality of soap. So we broadly believe that TFM is an absolutely important and essential component in quality. At the margins, you know, I can argue a little bit here, there are new technologies, but those are all at the margins. At the core, we have for the last 20 years been giving great value to consumers. We have done this despite extremely high commodity prices. We have not touched the quality of the soap. And it will not do that in the future either.
Got it. Great. Wishing you all the best for future quarters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik Chellappa from Indus Capital Advisors Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions.
Sorry to interrupt. Karthik, sir, you're sounding a lot muffled. So if you're using a speakerphone...
But I'm able to hear him. Don't worry. I'm able to hear him.
Okay. Is this any better?
It doesn't matter. Go ahead. I can follow what you're saying.
Okay, sure. My first question is on Indonesia. What we hear from on the ground is there have been a kind of like a soft boycott of MNC brands in view of the geopolitical situation there. So from a competitive landscape point of view, are your competitors predominantly MNCs or are they local companies? And are you benefiting from this trend of a soft boycott in any of your categories? And just related to that, from a portfolio point of view, what percentage of your volumes or revenue will be hit?
Oh, sorry, what percentage of our revenue and volumes will be hit in Indonesia?
Yes.
Yeah, I think hit in Indonesia may be roughly 30-35% of our portfolio on top of our, from my head, but it's in that ballpark. In terms of the, you know, there is a story, I had heard it a few months ago, it was stronger than what it is today. It keeps going. Our competitors are both Japanese and American. I mean, I can't really, but they're not necessarily well known as those. I can't necessarily say in the two relatively narrow sectors that we operate, this seems to be a big driver of choice in the market right now. It doesn't appear to be in any case.
Okay, the reason why I asked that question is if I look at your category-wise volume growth in Indonesia, basically, like Stella has grown double digit and your hair colors have also grown double digit, but it's only Hit which has grown single digit. But if it's only one third of your portfolio, shouldn't the organic volume growth in Indonesia be higher?
See, we have in Indonesia a tail of brands which are B2B brands and very, very small brands which are about 15 to 20% of our portfolio. Those are generally in decline, which we don't report to you guys. So we've got a brand called Carrera, which is a car wash, and a long tail of brands. So I suspect that the reason that your match is not working out is that we've got a portfolio much more than those three categories. Individually small, but collectively reasonable size. And doing, I mean, and structurally doing badly. I mean, they're not focused categories either for us.
Okay. And my last question is, you have remarked that the Agarbatti is scaling up well and gaining market share from the illegal incense sticks. Is this across states that you have launched in, or is this like very specific to some states where it is doing better than others? Or how broadly is this market share gain?
Yeah. See, we launched incense sticks in the end of Q4. And by the end of Q4 in the south, the season had got over. So it really sold only largely in the east and north. Then, you know, over in Q1, generally in April and May and half of June, this category just doesn't sell. I mean, especially at the bottom of the pyramid. Then, you know, in second half of June and July, it picks up. But what we are seeing is, we are seeing broadly infant sticks on or better than our plan that we had set for the year. Like we're seeing laundry, we're seeing significantly better. Infant sticks we're seeing better than the plan we had set for the year is what our view is. It is broadly doing well across. Some ups and downs in large incense stick geographies is doing better. In slightly smaller incense stick geographies is doing slightly less. But there is no immediate pattern of performance across the country which is different.
Okay. Okay. This is clear. Thank you very much and wish you and the team all the very best for the remaining quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for questions, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. Our next question is from the line of Jay Doshi from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Now, if I actually exclude RCC, then it looks like your India business margins have declined by about 250 basis point YOY EBITDA margin. I just want to understand what is driving this and also your earlier comment that margins will be around these levels. So if you could sort of, you know, clarify what do you mean, when you mentioned that margin will be around these levels for India business.
I mean, look, we got a sharp increase in palm oil prices as the quarter was turning, and it's taken us a month or two to respond in terms of prices. So I would say we've lost a little bit of margins on soaps in the quarter, but the cost increases on palm are not high enough for it to be worrying for the full year.
Understood. And then to add on, I think the maths we can kind of offline pick up, but it's not in sync with what you're mentioning. So, there has been a mild kind of impact on margins, but no way close to what you're referring to.
Okay, maybe my assumption for RCC this year could be on the higher side. Understood. I'll take
RCC,
it offline.
Say RCC last year was acquired through the quarter, so there was only a particular volume in the base. So, I mean, that impact in terms of the base was also not as much. But we can pick it offline.
Ashton, maybe you can tell them, but you can pick it up offline.
Sure. Second is, if you could, what will be the positioning of, your brand in terms of price point perspective versus the existing brands in pet food space?
I think it's too premature to say that. What is adequate to say is that it's a large market opportunity, and we are not the kind of company to play at just the top of the pyramid or something small. If you play, we would want to play pretty much at the belly of the market. What exactly the positioning and prices, we'll figure out with time.
Understood. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Gupta from Tara Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. A couple of questions on the pet food business. Sorry if you answered it earlier. So the agreement with Godrej Agrovet, would you be buying finished goods from there and distributing and marketing it? Or would work in progress come from there and some of the capex has to be done on your part? I'm guessing you will own the brand. So if you could share some additional color on what the agreement exactly is and what would you be buying from Agrovet?
Yeah, no, we will with something, but we will be, we will buy fish goods from be a transfer pricing and a return on capital invested for them, plus a small management fee. And that is how we operate. So we will, as a company, really be involved in sales and marketing. And Godrej Agro will be involved in manufacturing and R&D.
Got it. So this 500 crore is more a operating expense capital infusion that you have to do.
Yeah,
over a
5 years. I think there's a lot of work to be done. I think what also excited us about the category is that there's huge category development opportunity. We feel over the last 2 years, we've developed some muscle of category development. And we feel this is a category that can benefit with category development. So that 500 crore is not for CapEx. It's mainly for OPEX and marketing and sales investments.
Got it. And last question on this. How's the margin structure of that industry? Because if you're going to make marketing margins on that, would you be able to make 20% margin like an India business in that category, or the growth is too high and even if it's slightly lower margin, that works for you?
See, globally, what we've realized is that the strategy seems to be 40 to 50 gross margin and anywhere between 15 to 25 EBITDA. This is so it doesn't seem to be on average as high a margin as HPC businesses are. But I would say that, you know, it has to justify itself on its own return on capital invested. And we just see like laundry a really massive, huge opportunity ahead. And as a group, we're also thinking long term. You know, it's not about 2 or 3 years. It's about what happens in a decade or 2 decades. So in a decade or 2 decades, already this category in foods itself is likely to be 5,000 crores or in the vicinity of. And it's growing, last decade it's grown at 20%. And it's likely to continue in the mid to late teens going forward. So, and I said penetrations are really low right now. I mean, dog penetration is low, packaged food penetration is low. So there's a multiplier effect. One of the exciting categories like air care, that penetration is low of pet food, and consumption within those who are penetrated also low. So you have 3 vectors of growth. And I think there's scope for a lot of people to grow and make reasonable money. I doubt this will be in the 25 to 30 EBITDA, which is where GCPL is.
Got it. So basically, you're saying that 15 to 25% range is going to be
straight up between you guys and aggregate. Short term, I guess EBITDA is not that important for us. Short term, it's important for us to get volume, gross margins. We'll see with EBITDA with time.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And obviously, to grow a category, you need to invest. But on a sustainable, let's say, 10-year out basis, that 15 to 25 range will also be split between aggregate and you guys, right? Is that's
no,
the right way
no,
to think about it?
No, that won't, because we are 100% owner of the pet care business. And aggregate is operating on a return on capital invested. And
okay.
Majority of the value creation will remain with GCPL here. Majority of the margins. We're not, it's not a joint venture.
You should treat Agrovet in this as a co-manufacturer with all the risk and returns being in a subsidiary of GCP.
Got it. Perfectly clear. Thank you for answering the questions. Have a good day.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, if you wish to ask questions, please press star and 1 on your touchtone phone. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question.
If there are no further questions, shall we wind down?
Sure. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So that's all from our from the Godrej Consumer Products senior management. Thank you for attending the conference. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Godrej Consumer Products Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.